I return your attention this morning as we have been working our way through in some measure of speed through this lengthy prophet Isaiah. But I return your attention this morning to verses 8 to 14 of Isaiah 30, verses I made reference to in looking at the entire chapter last Sunday morning. And I do so because of the very important subject that these verses reveal to you. The very important subject that these verses should show to you, or should show to you. And how you should measure the importance of something. For how you should measure the importance of something should not be based on what men think, but on what God's Word clearly declares and reveals. And a simple search of the Bible would clearly show you the awesome importance of the subject I want to lay before you this morning. So much so that I have no problem in returning to these verses and bringing the truth to bear upon your minds again this morning. And I will show you the importance of the truth that I want to lay before you this morning by asking you a very simple question. A question you can put to your own conscience here this morning. You don't have to concern yourself with who is beside you, or who is in front of you, or who is behind you. But a very simple question you can address to your own soul this morning. Do you want to be a burden or a blessing to yourself and others? Do you want to be a burden or a blessing to yourself, to the church, and this country, and the world? Well, hopefully you can all honestly say that the last thing I want to be is a burden to either myself or others. I certainly don't want to be a burden to the church or the country and world in which I live. Well, there is a very clear and easy way for you to determine the honesty of that desire, assuming that that is your desire here this morning. What is your attitude and what is your view of the Word of God? Now, I don't deny that this is a very simple answer. But the truth of it is clearly seen and declared in more than one way in the Bible itself. In fact, I have no hesitation in saying to you this morning that all of mankind's burdens can be traced back to the incorrect attitude displayed by our natural father Adam to the Word of God. Whereas all the blessings for God's elect can be traced to the correct attitude displayed by the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Word of God as it related to Him as the Savior of the world. Now the truth of this can be seen in the verses I will presently direct your attention to in Isaiah 30 again. But notice, quickly, just a couple of examples that declare the blessings that are associated with the right attitude towards the infallible and inerrant written Word of God, the Holy Bible, in comparison to the wrong attitude that is clearly shown in Isaiah 30, verses 8 and following. I'll just give you two examples. One example from the Old Covenant Scriptures and one example from the New Covenant Scriptures. Because there are more than these two examples that I will use to clearly show the true blessing associated with the correct attitude if you truly want to know blessing. There are more than these two examples that I can turn you to. But here you just see captured for you blessing associated with the right attitude and view of the Word of God versus the incorrect view, as we will see in a moment, from Isaiah 30. The one example from the Old Testament, Joshua 1, verse number 8. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. What is He saying to Joshua? Joshua takes, as it were, the mantle of Moses as he's about to enter into the Promised Land. How is he going to know blessing and not burden? Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Notice how a right reception and attitude towards the Word of God is tied to what Joshua does with the Word. And there are other examples that you could look at in the Old Testament, but the example from the New Testament, just one. Now, although this example has specific reference to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the principle and truth that John declares about the book of Revelation has the entire Bible preceding it. And it could equally be applied to any of the 66 books of God's inerrant and infallible Word. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Notice, John is laying before those to whom he writes. You want to know the way of blessing? Well, read this book. Read this letter. And hear what it is saying. And keep. And hold on to what is therein. You see, you will never be a blessing to yourself. You will never be a blessing to others if you do not have a correct attitude towards the Word of God. And the truth of this should be clearly seen in both of these above verses, but clearly in the way in which the Lord Himself declares through Isaiah how dangerous it is not to have a correct attitude. What a burden you will be to yourself and others if you have an inadequate and incorrect attitude towards God's Word. And the justification for my saying this can clearly be seen in Isaiah 30, verses 8 to 14. And I want to show you the truth of these verses in three ways. First, God wants you to know what a burden you will be to yourself and others by an incorrect and inadequate view of the Word of God, because He told Isaiah to write about the incorrect and inadequate view of the Word of God displayed by the people of God in Isaiah's day, not just for them to hear, but to be recorded so that all following generations could read it. Notice Isaiah 30, verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book. This is not only for those in Isaiah's day, but write it in a table and note it in a book. That, why? That it may be for the time to come forever and ever. God is putting these verses in His Word as a warning sign to every subsequent generation of how dangerous it is to have an inadequate view and reverence for His Word. See, don't measure the importance of something by what fallen men think. Measure the importance of something by what the living, true, and only God declares to you through His Word. And when God declares to Isaiah that He wants him to write something about his generation that is to be recorded for all following generations, you know what you should do? You should sit up and take notice. You should sit up and say, all right, God wants this written for all subsequent generations. What is it that God wants me to know? And men who say that the Bible has no relevance to the 21st century show how ignorant they really are. In fact, they show that they are a burden to themselves and everyone else because of such an attitude towards the Word of God. Because notice, second this morning, after God declares what He wants written down, this is what He wants written. This is what the Lord wants recorded for all following generations of men. This is what God wants you to hear this morning concerning His people when Isaiah walked the earth. He wanted Isaiah to record their grievously incorrect attitude towards His Word and the results of that grievously incorrect attitude. They were a burden to themselves. They were not a blessing. For notice with me now the characteristic of the people in Isaiah's day who, because of these characteristics, were a burden to themselves and others, as seen by what the Lord declares after he reveals and declares through Isaiah their horrendously incorrect attitude towards the Word of God that resulted in them being a burden and not a blessing. And be honest, dear people. Simply consider the things that the Lord declares through Isaiah here, and ask yourself, are you or others you know being a blessing or a burden to themselves and others? Because God reveals what results in people being a burden to themselves and others. Well, what is it that Isaiah writes first? Well, he declares, as we've said in verse 8, that this is to be written for all men. The time to come forever and ever. Verse 9, the beginning, that this is what God wants recorded. This is what God wants you to hear. Why these people weren't being a blessing to themselves and others. Why? That this is a rebellious people. Wow, what a way to be recorded for all time. That this is a rebellious people. What the Word of God was telling them clearly to do, they were rebelling against. And God is telling them how dangerous that is and how foolish it is, and He is warning you of the same thing. What the Word of God was telling them clearly to do, what were they doing? They were rebelling against it. If you read the previous verses, if you know the context, if you know the reality of what God had said to him, said to his people, God had said to his people, don't go back to Egypt. Don't return to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt for help. And yet that is what they were doing. They were disobeying what God had told them to do. Then you will be a burden to yourself. And I can simply say to you here this morning, if you are rebelling against the Word of God in some way, if there is some passage of the Word of God that speaks particularly to you, and you are not listening to it, you are not heeding it, you are a burden to yourself and others. Take the fundamental call of the gospel to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have not repented and believed savingly in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a burden to yourself and everyone else. Because you are giving the impression to everyone else that the call of the gospel is not important. That fleeing to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation is not important. But how much rebellion is seen, sadly, even in the visible church today? God clearly declares in His Word that something is not to be done, and yet the church does it. And this is exactly what he's warning about here, that this is a rebellious people. God had told them not to do something, and they were rebelling against what His Word told them they shouldn't be doing. Don't go down to Egypt. We're going to go down to Egypt. A simple example. How many visible churches have women teaching men publicly today? God's Word clearly tells us that the public voice in the gathered assembly is to be male. Yet how many places of worship have women occupying pulpits? As I said in the Bible study hour previous to this, there's a television at where I do some assistant work. And I just happened to, it was on and the channels were being gone through. And Sunday morning is when you have all these various televangelists on. What happened at one particular time? There's a woman behind a pulpit like this, holding forth the Word of God to a gathered assembly. That's rebellion, dear people. God says women are to be silent. God says it's men's responsibility to teach and preach. Churches that allow women to have a public voice in the preaching of the Word of God are a burden to this society. God clearly declares in His Word what is to be done and what is not to be done in His church. And when what is done in His church has no biblical warrant and biblical precedent, then the warning of Isaiah applies to the church today that this is a rebellious people. But notice, what does the Lord say next? That this is a rebellious people, lying children, to rebel against what God declares in His Word and think it is no small thing is a lie. You are lying to yourself. It's a grievous lie. To live and act as if what God declares in His Word is not important is to be living a lie. Adam had to embrace the lie of the devil in the garden. He had to lie to himself that disobedience against the Word of God was no big deal in order for him to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And how many people today say, that story in the book of Genesis about Adam eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I mean, really, God getting upset about something as insignificant and trivial as that. That was cosmic rebellion against God who had made Adam from the dust. It's the reason that you and I all inherit fallen rebel wills. How many lie to themselves today regarding what the Bible declares about the consequences of impenitent and ongoing sin? For the wages of sin is death. Yes, my dear people, there are degrees of sin, but there are no minor sins. How many people lie to themselves thinking that some sins are not mortal? All sin is mortal. Meaning that every sin you commit with your mind, with your mouth, or with your body exposes you to the just wrath and judgment of God unless you find cleansing and forgiveness for that sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how many people today are a burden to themselves and others because they lie to themselves and others, because they tell themselves and others that God will accept them and others apart from true and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, despite what the Lord declares in His Word. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You are a burden to yourself and you are a burden to other people if you tell someone that God will accept them outside the Lord Jesus Christ. You're lying to them. You are a liar to your own soul and a liar to that soul you're speaking to. Christ is the only way of acceptance with God. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. When you have men occupying pulpits and saying, well, God accepts this person or that person because they lived a good life, they were a good father, they were a good husband, they were a good worker, that preacher is a lying preacher. Because there's only one way of acceptance with the Holy God, and that's through the finished work of Christ on His cross. How many people in our culture today that has become so addicted to sin that when you tell them something is sin, they say it's not that serious? How many men, even in churches this morning, are on the wide road to destruction because they hide their secret lust? No one else in the church knows what goes on from Monday Saturday night, with the click of the mouse, wherever they go. And they come and they lie to themselves because they can sing the hymns. What did Jesus say? If you look to a woman in lust, you've committed adultery in the heart. You've broken the seventh commandment. Oh, that's too
The law is too high.
Yes, it's perfect, it's holy, it's righteous and just, and it's showing you that you should flee to Christ. Not lowering it so that you think you can get over it to enter into the kingdom of God. But what does Isaiah declare next that shows the people of his day to be a burden to themselves and others? Isaiah 30 verse 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Notice, that's a sign of rebellion. That's a sign of being a burden to yourself and others, that you will not hear the law of God. I ask you this morning, are you being a burden to yourself and others if you do not want to hear the law of God? Because the law of God is what the Lord uses to show a sinner how great is his need of salvation in Christ. The law is a sinner's schoolmaster to show them how much they need Christ and that the only way of acceptance with God is through being justified by faith alone. But how can a person know the blessing of salvation in Christ if he does not want to hear the law of God correctly explained? Why did the Pharisees and the Sadducees get so annoyed at Christ? Because he exposed their false and inadequate understanding of the law of God. He showed the law's depth and breadth. As I already mentioned, mental murder, mental lust can expose you to hellfire unless you repent. How many in the visible church would not want the Sermon on the Mount carefully explained today? And notice, will not hear. Notice the aspect of hearing. You have to be at a place where the Word of God is held forth in order to hear. But he's saying they don't want to hear it. And I simply lay this before you, dear people, and this is a fact of the history in this culture. Has this generation increased the burden it will be to itself and others? Because what is something that men in this culture today not only do not want to hear, but they don't even want to see it? What is it? What don't they want to see in this culture? Have you ever heard of the Ten Commandments? We live at a time in which this very culture that was founded on the truth of the Word of God doesn't want to see the law of God displayed in public places. A judge wants to use the Ten Commandments as a basis for the decisions he makes in court, and he's kicked out of his office. We don't want to hear the Word of God. We don't even want to see it. You go into the Supreme Court chambers, they've got curtains up now. Because why? What's behind those curtains? You know what's behind the curtains? The Ten Commandments. Obviously, the ones who established this great country saw the public display of the Ten Commandments as in no way contravening the reality of separation of church and state. Not today. They are removed from public buildings or covered up behind curtains. My dear people, you will never be a blessing to yourself or others if you do not want to hear the law of God. I challenge you this morning, if you were asked, could you give the Ten Commandments in order? Could you? Do you know how the Lord Jesus Christ summarized the law? My dear people, I hope you are not discouraged by these things. I hope what you are seeing is that the Lord, in His wonderful grace and mercy to His people, is clearly revealing to you the way of blessing and burden. If you can honestly say that you love the Word of God, then you are a blessing to yourself and others. But in being that blessing, you need to clearly see how God reveals what makes a person a burden to himself and others. Because Isaiah is not finished in revealing why the people of his day were such a burden to themselves and others. But what does he declare next in verse 10? Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Which say to the seers, see not. The people did not want to hear what the Lord had revealed to His infallibly and inerrantly guided seers. Now, seers were the men God chose to reveal things His people needed to know prior to the completion of revelation in the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul declares in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, and the seers would be included in that, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. What a burden people are to themselves when they do not want to hear what the Lord is pleased to reveal through His seers as recorded in His Word. What a burden people are to themselves when they do not want to hear what God says about His Son. Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is My beloved Son, hear Him, listen to Him." When Jesus Christ declares something, you should receive it. Not say, "I don't want to hear it." Was this not why the Pharisees and Sadducees were such a burden to themselves and others? They refused to hear what Jesus was declaring to them. Not only about the law, but about Himself. John 8:24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." How many do not want to be told today that if they reject the full deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, they will die in their sins? How many people say, "Well, as long as you believe in God, that's all that matters"? Jesus Christ is God incarnate. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, no. We're not about to start declaring the reality that Jesus Christ is God. That's offensive to some people. That's divisive to some people. But what does Jesus say? "If you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sins." Are you a blessing to yourself and others because you want all that God has revealed through Christ? But notice, what is the next thing that led to burden and not blessing regarding the Word of God? Isaiah 30 verse 10 again, "Which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit." Oh. God's prophets not only had things revealed to them about the future, specifically and most clearly about the Lord Jesus Christ, but God's prophets also had the responsibility to declare to people when they were not walking according to the revelation that God had already given to them. They didn't want to hear Isaiah tell them that going down to Egypt was wrong. "Don't tell us that. Tell us smooth things. Tell us what is not true. Tell us that there is nothing wrong with us seeking the help of the idolatrous Egyptians. That's what we want you to tell us. Don't tell us that if we go down there, it's going to be an absolute futile endeavor." To be a biblical prophet, my dear people, required courage. It required strength, because God's prophet couldn't go along with the majority. Even if there were 400 prophets saying one thing, God's prophet had to say what God had told him to say. God's prophet could not determine what people wanted and then give them what they wanted. He had to preach the truth to them whether they would receive it or not. What you are doing is wrong because it contradicts what the Word of God says. What you are believing is wrong because it contradicts what the Word of God says. Oh, think of how Jesus declared the truth to those who were following Him about the sovereignty of God and salvation. In John 6, verses 65 and 66, we read this, and He said, "Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto Me, except it were given unto him of My Father." From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. How many today have large followings because they don't tell people the truth that salvation is due to the sovereign will of God and not the mythical free will of man? Oh, Isaiah, it is not a mystery as to why the Lord had you record these things for all times, because they are being displayed in our day. Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. A sobering example of this was mentioned to me after the message last Sunday morning. There are false teachers in the church today who are saying that the infallible and inerrant teachings of God's Word are compatible with the blasphemous and demonic teaching of evolution. They are saying that you can embrace the infallible and inerrant Word of God and evolution, and that there is no conflict between the two of them. That's to prophesy a lie. And when leaders in the church today say they are going to honor Charles Darwin, where are we, dear people? You will never be a blessing to yourself or this generation of lost men if you buy into the smooth-talking but lying preachers and teachers in the church today who say that you can embrace the Bible in one hand and God-dishonoring evolution in the other. But how could the visible church reach such a condition similar to the sobering times Isaiah had to prophesy in? Because of the last thing that Isaiah declares that shows a person to be a burden rather than a blessing to himself or others. Isaiah 30 verse 11. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Because the Holy One of Israel, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They didn't want the truth of God declared before them. They wanted to hold on to their idols. They didn't want to be confronted with the truth about the living, true, and only God who was speaking to them through Isaiah. When people do not want to hear the truth about God, they will be a burden to themselves and others. And simply be honest, dear people. How many visible churches have never done and would not want a series on the attributes of God as I have been seeking to take you through the last few weeks in our Bible study hour? What does Isaiah say? Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease before us. We don't want to hear the truth about the living, true, and only God. There is many gods, and you can have God your way in our culture today. No, there is only one God, not many gods. He is one in essence, three in person, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is holy. He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. He knows all things. He is present everywhere. No, stop declaring who God is. To declare such things are ecumenically and politically incorrect and dangerous. You might offend some people. They might stop coming if you declare things about God that are true, but they don't want to accept them. My dear people, do you want the truths about God declared to you? Because knowing who God is a blessing. It's not a burden to those who understand the truth. How many in the visible church today would not want to hear the truth of Psalm 93? The very psalm I hope to bring before you this afternoon. The glorious truth that the Lord reigneth. For notice, it is this incorrect attitude towards God and His Word that is the reason for burden, not blessing. Because what does the Lord declare through Isaiah after He clearly declares their attitude towards Him and His Word, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore, or Therefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word, see, because of their attitude towards God's word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, what will happen? Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a share to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pits. Do you hear what the Lord is saying in these verses? He is saying that because of your grievously incorrect attitude towards my word, because you despise my word, you're going to know burden and not blessing. You see, there's nothing but burden associated with an incorrect view of the word of God. And be honest, how many people in this country today actually believe that all the problems and difficulties that this country is facing is due to a removal of the Bible from the public forum? Be honest. Yes, the Word of God may be referred to in public today, but how is it referred to? Is it referred to as the gift it is? Is it referred to as the infallible, inerrant, inspired, written Word of God? No, it's mocked. No, it's ridiculed. No, it's rejected. How can this country, how can anyone in this country, whether young or old, know the true blessing of God if His word is rejected and not allowed to have a voice? It's impossible. Do you want to be a true blessing to yourself and others? That's a legitimate thing. I want to be blessed. I really want to know blessing in my life. I want to know, be a blessing to other people. Then don't be any of the things that the Lord warns of in these verses. I can say this without one word of hesitation, that it is only true Bible-believing and Bible-loving Christians who can be true blessings to themselves and others. Only true Bible-believing and Bible-loving Christians are true blessings in this country. You cannot be a true patriot of this country. And patriot means you love your country. You cannot be a true patriot of this country if you dislike or reject anything the Word of God teaches and declares. Isaiah loved his country because he held forth the truth of the Word of God. And you are not a true patriot, even if you wrap yourself in the stars and stripes, if you reject or mock or ridicule or deny any truth revealed and declared in the Word of God. Oh, may you be of that small believing remnant in the church today who want to please and obey the Lord who has saved them by His free and sovereign grace, who want to hear the truth about the law of God in its depth and breadth and how it judges thoughts and words and actions, so that you can know true fear before the Lord and rejoice in the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed and declared in the Bible. You want to know what the Bible teaches on every subject it speaks to. You don't want to have your ears tickled with the false teachings of men as they twist and pervert the Word of God. You want the truths about God that He reveals about Himself in His Word clearly and constantly declared before you as protection against the idolatry that is destroying this country and the visible church. Such true believers are the only ones who can be a true blessing to themselves, the church they are a part of, and the country they live in. I ask you, are you such a believer? I pray that you are. Can you measure your love for your own soul and for the souls of others? Yes, you can. You can truly measure whether you have a true love for this country that is bent on destroying itself by examining your attitude towards the Holy Bible. And loving the Word of God, my dear people, is not turning the Bible into an idol, as some will foolishly say. It is evidence that you are a true disciple of the Lord, a true lover of God and of men. For I ask you, who displayed perfect love for God and men? The Lord Jesus Christ. And how did He display His love? By His perfect obedience to the Word of God as it related to Him, even though it meant His death on the cross for His people. Do you love the Lord? Do you love your own soul? Do you want to be a blessing and not a burden to the eternal souls of others? Well, then examine your attitude toward what the Bible infallibly and inerrantly teaches, and you will have your answer. What does your soul say to you today? Let us pray.